What's going on, everybody? It's time for another episode of Phil's Drive-In Movie Reviews. I am your host, as always, Phil. I think I just splashed some dude with windshield fluid as he walked behind my car. It's funny as shit, actually. It is Phil's Drive-In Movie Reviews, episode 12. We are doing The Joker today. Oscar-nominated, Oscar-winning for Best Actor and Best Original Score. So that is what we were reviewing today. If you are a fan of the podcast, you may have seen, probably in no way, actually I don't understand how you would have seen because I haven't really done it yet. Started a blog, The Burning River Bro. Is what it's called. You can find it on WordPress. Just search The Burning River Bro, or it's like theburningriverbro.wordpress.com or something like that. I will put it in the description of the pod. But yeah, so I'm going to start doing some written reviews of the movies, doing some other some sports stuff, some movie theme stuff, working on a movie blog now, pretty long one. Favorite movie scenes of all time. Was watching Goodfellas, and as you are one to do with Goodfellas, you start to get thinking about great movies because it is a great movie. So working on that, but you can find me there at The Burning River Bro on WordPress. So check it out there. As always, Spotify, Anchor, for the podcast, and then I'll have, you know, some sports stuff on there, some Cleveland stuff as well, so check that out. Remember, follow me on Twitter, at The Burning River Bro. I'll be on there doing dumb shit, but gonna get right into it today, because of how complex I felt this movie was. This movie is very heavy. Loaded with a lot of stuff, a lot of different messages, things like that. Not that they're, like, hidden or anything like that. They're pretty right out there in front of your face, but... You're just gonna speed right up here, aren't you, asshole? Yeah, I'm cutting you off, dumbass. Idiot. So we're getting right into it. Joker, 2019, nominated for Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Director, Best Original Screenplay, or Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Score, I think it was Best Costume, it was a Subaru, if you could hear that. It was a 2005 Subaru WRX. Car sucked. Big ass fin on the back. nominated for 11 Academy Awards, had the most this year. Joaquin Phoenix, Robert De Niro, Zazie Beetz, some other people. If you don't know, give you a synopsis if you're not familiar with The Joker. Essentially, we follow... what was his name in the movie? Arthur Fleck. I just kept wanting to say Joker, because there is a whole, like, thing with that. But Arthur Fleck is a clown, and you see him as he is in, I want to say it was 1970s, 1980s Gotham. It's got to be the 70s based on how everything looked. 1970s Gotham City, you see his struggles and his eventual turn into Joker. Never says the Joker, it's just Joker. He's a failed stand-up comedian. And clown. So it was awesome. Gave it a 90. Originally had it in a 97. Knocked that down to a 95 the more I thought about it. But it was awesome. I think one of the biggest things that was said about this movie was you could take out the Joker name and put anything on this. And it would still be the same movie. It doesn't do anything to support Batman or anything like that. Because as you see in the movie, Bruce Wayne is in it, but he's still very young, obviously. You see his parents get killed eventually in the end, the normal thing you see in every Batman movie. But it was just a good movie overall. If you take the Joker out of it, it's not really doesn't really change the movie. You could change it into anything. The acting that it is portrayed and everything like that, it's very good. I think that it being in a Batman setting, and not really in a Batman setting, but knowing that it is Joker and knowing that it is involved with that, I think that helped it in some ways, but I don't think it was like that's what made it great. Joaquin Phoenix deserved the Best Actor award. He was phenomenal. I loved Taron Egerton this last year as Elton John. I also loved Adam Driver in Marriage Story, if you remember my review from that. But I mean, it was fantastic. I believed everything. Like Christian Bale, in these roles, he and you know he is he enthralls himself, and he was phenomenal in it. Just such a good actor in it. You saw him. If you've ever seen Joaquin in movies, you understand that this is not something that's new for him. He's a very good actor. He just is. It's kind of a weird dude in the fact that he doesn't, you know, really, he doesn't seem like he likes being an actor. This is just something he's good at, something that was in his family, with his brother being River Phoenix. So it's just kind of something that he is. But I mean, it was fantastic. You know, I could go through everything. There was a lot of my favorite scene. I'm not going to go through a synopsis of the movie and describe the movie scene by scene because there's so much more to unpack in this movie than just that. You know, the commentaries it makes, how I feel this stacked up against other movies, you know, Joker roles, things like that. But I think the scene I enjoyed the most was there's a scene in it where Joaquin or Joker. He kills one of the other, one of the clowns who kind of set him up to get fired from his job. And he brutally kills him, stabs him in the eye. This movie was rated R for a reason, and I liked that it was like that. Like, that really shows you, like, this is really what Joker is. Like, Joker is not, new Joker is not Jack Nicholson, is not, shit, he's not even whatever Jared Leto was trying to do. It is more that Heath Ledger, like, that gruesome, more real brutality. And you see that. But you see him kill him. And then there's another, a little person who is always very nice to him, also a clown. And you see the switch. And that was something that was, I think, what you see in Joker, what Joker really is. And that he portrayed it really well of this, you know, homicidal murderer to flip, hey, you were always nice to me. You know, I'm gonna let you go here. Let me help you. I'm not gonna do anything to you. He plays a little joke on him where he jumps at him. And you do feel really bad for the little guy because for the little person, because he is like, he was the only person who was nice to Arthur throughout his time and where he was working and was very sincere to him. And you see him help him and let him go because he didn't want to hurt him and he wasn't going to hurt him. But you see that flip and that switch is what you see in, you know, what Joker is. Joker is a homicidal murderer who can flip at the drop of a hat into somebody else from this laughing, happy-go-lucky to kill you because you wronged me and then back to it. So that was a really good scene. There's so many good scenes that he, the end of it. With Robert De Niro was fantastic. The dancing, you know, after his first murder is very, you know, just where he feels cool. He feels like this is the new him. And then the dancing down the stairs obviously was very cool. It's the first thing is what this movie is a commentary on. It's very up in your, it's not up in your face in a bad way. It's very straightforward. It's about mental health. It's about the struggles of mental health, and it's about how we as a society treat mental health. You know, mental health is very, you know, people dealing with mental health problems is very real. It's not something that, you know, Jake Paul being a dickhead can go on Twitter and say anxiety is caused by yourself. It's not. It's not. It's a proven thing that things like anxiety and PTSD and you know, schizophrenia and any mental, you know, mental health disorder you can think of is caused by, you know, chemicals in your brain, or, you know, just the need to talk about it and things like that. And that's something that, you know, this movie is very big on in this time and what we're seeing. And I think what we see today, you know, this was in the 70s, but the lack of funding for those underprivileged, and how they're basically made to deal with their problems themselves. And that's what causes murderers and what causes, not to saying that, you know, if you have a mental health disorder, you are a murderer, but to say that when it can go untreated, this is what you can get. And then people want to go ahead and blame that person. And it's like, yes, but what did you do to help? What did you do to add, you know, add something to give them, you know, an avenue to not do this and give them an avenue for help? You know, do I feel like, do I feel bad for the, you know, the middle class? I'm not going to get into it. Stupid, not a point, but it's whatever. It is this, you know, it makes a commentary on mental health. It even says it in the end of the movie. But it's also, you know, the class, this, it showed, and, you know, it's also a commentary on class, but mostly I think it's a mental health, you know, commentary on that. You know, it's not trying, it doesn't hide it or anything like that. It just goes straight forward with it. So I'm not bad at all. Not a bad, I think that was a good message, especially with something so prominent today. So I didn't have a problem with it really at all. I think there are people that are like, oh, this movie sucks because of that. It's whatever. I think where the movie lacks and why I think, I don't think it was ever really a huge consideration for Best Picture. It was nominated, obviously, but there were two, you know, and we'll, I'll talk about them in the next 2 weeks, two movies that were ahead of everybody else. I think that this was a very good movie. I mean, I gave it a 95. I loved it. Like, I think that if I were to compare, like, 95's, Knives Out for me also got 95. I like Knives Out better. Made me laugh more. Why Joker was so interesting was because of where it tied into Batman. And I think, is this ever going to, you know, be a Batman movie? No. I think this is a standalone. This is it. It's done. You're not going to have a Batman. They're not making a sequel. It was a good movie. I think where the problem where people have with it was, well, how is this Joker connected to Bruce Wayne when we see Bruce Wayne and this Joker so old? And I think if you were ever to do it to where you connect this, I think the way it did was you saw that he was an inspiration to people. You see it with the riots and the clown and them, you know, after he gets arrested, they take him out, you know, they take him out of the car, and, you know, hold him up in the air, and he leads the people, and you see one of the people he's inspired wearing a clown mask kill Bruce Wayne's parents. I think that right there could lead into it, like, hey, he inspired generations of Jokers, and then one Joker ended up being the same Joker as Batman, that Batman we knew and everything like that. So I think that's the way it could connect, as less of this is the Joker as, and more of this is a Joker, who inspired others to be this, to, you know, stand up against the rich and morphed into what we know is the Joker today. I think that in terms of Joker portrayals, it's pretty easy. This is the second best. I've never, like, movie Jokers. Because there was obviously the TV Joker. There's Mark Hamill Joker from cartoons and things like that. But in terms of the Jokers that we've seen in movies, Jared Leto is obviously the worst. I mean, that Joker sucked. I think that Jack Nicholson was three, and I think this was number two. Nothing will ever, I think, compare to what Heath did, because what Heath did was more than just, he like he he brought the comic to life. And that was something that we really hadn't seen. He brought a New Age comic to life and kind of inspired a generation of Jokers going forward. He's inspired comic book Jokers. And it was so ambivalent. We didn't know. It was an enigma. We didn't know what Heath Ledger's Joker was, which made it even better. With this one, we have a backstory. We know where it comes from. And I think that adds that builds a character more, because you're like, okay, we don't really, like, we know who where he comes from. We know why he hates the rich. He believes, you know, he believed that Bruce Wayne was his dad and that Bruce Wayne's not his dad. And, you know, he kills his mother because she lied to him for these all these years. And, you know, she told him that his disorder, you know, he has a disorder that, if you've seen the movie, obviously, he laughs uncontrollably when he gets uncomfortable. And he thought it was a mental disorder that was caused throughout his life. Turns out his mom and his mom's, or his mom's, one of his mom's boyfriends, beat the shit out of him, and he was taken away from his mom for a little bit because she had a problem. And he was adopted. He doesn't know his real parents or who are his real parents, all this kind of stuff. So that builds character, you know, builds on the characters. So you know more about him. So you begin to feel different, you know, different things for him. He is a bad guy, but you see, like, what he does and things like that. So you start to feel more for him. But what Heath did was took a character you knew nothing about. You don't know what his backstory is. There's obviously rumor, like, not rumors, but there's, goddamn the word. There's beliefs and, shit, why can I not think? Theories. Son of a bitch. There's theories about who he really is, and, you know, there's the theory of that Heath Ledger's Joker was a soldier with PTSD that explained the explosives and the knives and the guns. There was that his name was Joker, and that he, you know, kind of the same story of Arthur Fleck. There was a bunch of different theories out there of what it is. Nobody knows for sure, because Christopher Nolan, I don't even think, really thought about it so much, and kind of just let Heath run with it, and did an amazing job with it. But that's why that one will always stand out, because he built a character that we knew nothing about and made you connect with him. Maybe not in a good way. He was a bad guy, but made you feel like, holy shit, like, I love this character on this movie. Like, I love this Joker from a, you know, acting role in general. I think it's one of the best acting roles we've seen in the last 20 years. That wasn't Heath Ledger. Like, everybody was pissed when Heath got it, because you're like, the dude from 10 Things I Hate About You, the guy from A Knight's Tale, like, this ridiculously good-looking Australian guy is going to play the Joker? And it worked, and it worked perfectly. And he became the character, and people always say that he died because of this character. No, he was dealing with other things. There was other things going on. It was unfortunate. But, you know, he made a character from a comic book that everybody already knew, that everybody already had preconceived notions about, and just was absolutely perfect in it. And that's what makes this Joker's role stand out over Joaquin Phoenix. Joaquin Phoenix was very good. He's a great actor, made this role something. It just, there was moments where it was just, I didn't like that I knew so much about him. I guess the reason, The Dark Knight is my favorite movie of all time, because of Heath Ledger. I didn't like that I got to know more about this Joker, and people are going to want to connect and say, oh, maybe this was Heath Ledger's Joker. No, they're separate. They're different. And that's what I didn't like. I don't want to know more about this Joker. I want to just, Heath Ledger's Joker, I want to know nothing about him, but just know that he's a psychopath and that he hates Batman or loves Batman, whether or not, depending on how you look at it. There was other theories about this movie that anytime he's laughing, it's the real life. Anytime he's not, it's in his head. The whole thing with Zazie Beetz, he, you know, you find out he never really was dating or any of this. But there's a theory that the whole thing was in his head and he was in a mental hospital all the time. I mean, it's too deep. I think that's honestly, like, I'm not trying to be a dick to Todd Phillips or anything like that. I honestly think that's just too deep for what this movie really was. I think everything that Todd Phillips was doing was straightforward, was right in your face. This is what the movie is. There's no hidden messages. There's nothing like that. This isn't like a theory on, oh, he was just in a mental institution the whole time and all this other stuff was going on. I don't think it's anything like that. I think it's very straightforward. This all happened. He went on the show. I think he really killed him. The makeup gives him confidence in order to do these things. So I think, I get why people have that theory. I get it. But I think it's an empty theory, just from my perspective. But again, a 95 out of 100, a very good movie. Fun in a weird way. Interesting, thought-provoking. It's not for everybody. I'll say that right now. It isn't going to be a movie that's for everybody. It is a more, I don't want to say artistic movie, but it is more, has more artistic touches to it. Not what you'd expect from Todd Phillips, but again, just an amazing, amazing movie that I really enjoyed. It's definitely worth a watch again. But yeah, that's it. Next week, 1917. Holy shit. If you have time, it's still in theaters. Go see it in theaters. You need to see this movie in theaters. Like, if you love movies as much as I do and the making of movies and how they look, you have to see this movie in theaters. It's just so damn perfect in theaters. But 1917 next week, Parasite after that. Again, remember, I'm going to put it in the description of this, but I have the new blog, The Burning River Bro, on WordPress, so go check it out there. Remember, follow me on Twitter, at The Burning River Bro. Subscribe, follow on Twitter, or follow on Spotify, Anchor, everything like that. Again, I know a ton of people don't listen, but I do this, just to talk about movies because they make it fun for me. So go on there, follow everything. But yeah, 1917 next week. Go check it out if you can in theaters. But until then, I will see you at the movies.